Hey, I hope you enjoyed the Over Our Heads theme week. We got one more episode to go, and this one introduces you to an adventurous couple who chronicles relics of America's past that were once used to help pilots find their way across the skies. If you've enjoyed our theme week, we want to know about it. And if you can't get enough of gazing into the cosmic wonders, then you should really join us in a few weeks at Atlas Obscura's Ecliptic Festival. It is our crazy, wild, gigantic eclipse festival from April 5th to April 8th in Hot Springs, Arkansas. You will find a link in the episode description. It will be a truly once-in-a-lifetime experience. Okay, back to the show.
My name is Brian Smith. I'm retired from the California Highway Patrol now for 17, almost 18 years.
And I'm his wife, Charlotte.
We've been married for 53 years now.
And we're old.
53 years.
He's 75, and I'm 72. It's been an adventure.
We met at a drive-in movie. And so
I was in a two-tone 58 Chevy. He was in a canary yellow Mustang.
Charlotte and Brian hit it off. 6 months later, they were married. And with that kind of origin story, they were bound to have some adventures.
We've been to Egypt. We saw the pyramids.
We've been to Alaska, Hawaii a couple of times.
We've driven, what'd you say, 40 states? 42 states?
We've been to 41 states.
They rode motorcycles together, bought an RV, saw the world. And then one day, Brian got an email.
I originally got the email from a friend of mine that I used to work with. He sent me this viral email with a couple of pictures on it as I forwarded it to Charlotte, which he opened it.
I go, oh my God, I've never heard of these before. I wonder if there's any left.
What Charlotte and Brian saw in that email were arrows, giant concrete arrows that crisscrossed America. They appeared in fields, at the tops of mountains, in people's backyards. And Charlotte and Brian decided they were going to find more of them. I'm Johanna Mayer, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we're hitting the road with Brian and Charlotte in search of arrows. After this.
If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
When they got that email back in 2013, Charlotte and Brian had never seen these strange arrows before. They were 70 feet long, laid into the ground, and made out of concrete. Some of them were painted yellow, and they appeared every 10 miles or so, spanning coast to coast. What Charlotte and Brian would soon learn is that these arrows had to do with the mail. Back in the early 1900s, mail service was slow, and to try to speed it up, the government was turning to planes. Airmail began in the 1920s, but still, it was relatively slow. To navigate, pilots followed the railroad route just by sight. They'd have to fly kind of low and follow the train tracks from above, which meant that when there was bad weather or poor visibility, they couldn't fly. So in the mid-20s, the government began to build 50-foot towers with rotating light beacons on top. And at their base, a giant concrete yellow arrow with a number on it.
So during the day, if you were sort of lost and you didn't know where you needed to go next, you would go down low to read the number on there so you knew where you were.
The best example I can give is if you go down the interstate or anything, you get to these off ramps, you see these higher numbers, you know, exit number 100. Then you go down a couple miles, exit 102. That's how the arrows were.
So you would see the arrow pointing in a certain direction and you would follow that arrow to the next arrow, which would be 60 miles.
At their peak, Charlotte estimates that there were at least 1,800 of these arrows, and they completely transformed airmail service. After the beacons and arrows, delivery time was cut in half. But times change fast. By the 50s, airplanes started using localizer antennas and radar arrays to navigate. The arrows were officially decommissioned in the 70s, but their remains are still there. And Charlotte couldn't stop thinking about them.
Because I'd never, ever heard of them. And I wanted to find out what they were, where they were, and if I could go stand on one.
Charlotte had done a lot of genealogy research as a hobby. Now, those skills were coming in handy. She got to work.
Well, I went online, and I couldn't hardly find anything about the arrows anywhere.
Eventually, she pieced together information from various websites. She found one site that documented the beacon locations and another with various government surveyor marks. She cross-referenced them with Google Maps, looking to see whether the arrows were still there.
And from there, I found 50 arrows within a week. And I go, oh my gosh, I need to do something with this.
So Charlotte took a web building course at the local community college, and she made a website where she posted the 50 or so arrows she'd found. She called it Arrows Across America. But looking at the Google images of the arrows wasn't quite satisfying enough for Brian and Charlotte. And if this gives you a sense of what kind of people Brian and Charlotte are, just 1 month after finding out about the arrows, they set off to find them.
We just started wandering. We started in Nevada, Utah, worked our way.
We followed them as they were on the air route. So we had a list of where we were going to go, and we usually were gone for about 4 to 5 weeks.
These arrows aren't just off the side of the highway. They're often on private property, or in the middle of the desert, or on top of a mountain. So Charlotte and Brian would drive as close to the arrows as they could get.
We have a four-wheel drive Jeep, so we're able to get out into the desert, but some of these places you have to walk to. And so that was my job, walking.
My knees are really bad, so I have a really hard time walking.
There's a couple of sites that I hiked to that I would not go back to. One outside of Winnemucca, Nevada, was way up on the top of a mountain, and that took me forever to get up there. It was so steep of a climb. It took me forever to get up.
And he almost got blown off because it was in the middle of a nasty storm. I told him not to go, and he said, yeah, I'm going.
Many of the arrows are on private property, and Charlotte and Brian often end up knocking on people's doors. Once, in Texas, someone answered the door with a gun. But once they explained about the arrows and what they were doing, Charlotte and Brian say they haven't had a bad encounter yet.
This is the best one. This is the best.
In Kansas, we drive through this big cornfield, and all of a sudden we see this guy on his lawnmower. So we stop and ask him, and he goes, oh, yeah, I know where that's at. It's on my property, and it's up there, and I'll show you where it's at. So he zooms into the house, gets his wife, and takes us up to where the arrow is, and he says, when you're done, come back by the house.
Brian and Charlotte had bought a drone to take photos of the arrows, They took it to the Arrow on the man's property, got to work documenting it.
And while we're doing our thing up there, he calls his family and tells them, get over here, quick. So when we come back, they bring us in. She's made cookies and iced tea, and we're waiting for the son to show up with his kids so that they can watch the recording of the drone.
We sat in their kitchen and sat there with their family. We talked for a couple of hours. So it's things like that where people were real positive on them, everything.
It was almost like we were family. We have been to probably 170 Arrow sites and have pictures of about 162 of them.
As far as we know, there's no official effort to preserve the Arrows. Many of them are being destroyed, built over. The Arrows are just a hobby for Charlotte and Brian, something they enjoy learning about, gives them an excuse to drive around and go on adventures. But they've become sort of the unofficial keepers of the Arrows. That website that Charlotte built, Arrows Across America, it is amazingly thorough, jam-packed with more than 7,000 records documenting the Arrows' locations. There are photos, GPS coordinates, arrows marked by county. It's basically an online museum of these Arrows. Since learning about the Arrows, Charlotte and Brian have gone on four big trips to find them. Over the course of their journeys, they've logged 22,000 miles, visited 19 states, and photographed more than 90 Arrow locations. For them, there are plenty of rewards to these journeys. Traveling the country, meeting people, documenting a phenomenon that so few know about. But there's one other pretty significant benefit to their Arrow quest.
I mean, people sometimes look at me and go, you're how old? You've been married how long?
People never guess my age. I always get around 60, 62 when I tell them I'm 75. You what?
As long as you're busy, you stay young.
You can learn more about Charlotte and Brian's journey and see photos of the Arrows they've documented at their website, dreamsmithphotos.com. There's a link in our episode description. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Dylan Therese,
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire,
Gianna Palmer,
Gabby Gladney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
Our theme and end credits are by Sam Tyndall. I'm Johanna Mayer, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure that you're always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.